Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chill out, Gordo. Your heart rate was getting way too high. We drove the Cooper in the car. So oh, there you go, Gordo.
Can we all look out the window long?
Remember when? All right, anyway, this is the Baseball's the Boring Show. Hey, guys. Hey, fellas. We're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, and it's brought to you by this show. It's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry to get your employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles Ford from America for America. All right, my man Mitch.
That was the furthest possible song from Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades, Motorhead, here on in, okay? Here we go. It's good, though, because I think we were getting a little too hot, a little too heated. Right?
Sounds good. We got you coming next break.
I know you do. It's good. We're riding the roller coaster here, right? We walked in, and I texted these guys. It's big boys day today.
He did.
Big boys. Press conferences. A lot of talk, a lot of opinions, a lot of
caps.
And we already been talking about the great game of baseball, which is about to unfold here at Fenway Park in just a mere matter of moments. Pre-game show coming up with Joe Weil. And he'll have a bunch of sound. Breslow, talk to Abraham Toro. Abraham Toro, what do you want to call him?
Abe the Bull.
All right. Also, I confirmed, this probably will jump to the top of the list in terms of news items today. Abraham Toro will play for Team Canada in the WBC.
What? What's this? I didn't know he had a Canada connection.
Oh, yeah. Him. We have – this is like the meeting of all things French-Canadian today.
Edouard Julien. Did you know that –
Edouard Julien.
Did you know that when he got called up, he didn't speak a lick of English?
Yeah, I did.
French only.
Yeah. Edouard Julien.
Pretty cool.
As I call him. Much like you say Louis Robert.
That's me. I say Louis.
Louis Robert. Edouard Julien plays for the Minnesota Twins and good friends with fellow French-Canadian – Abraham Toro, both played for Team Canada, WBC. So we're compiling the list of players who are playing the WBC.
We lost Nick
Tristan
Pivetta.
Tristan Casas will not be playing in the WBC next year.
No. Yeah. We lost Nick Pivetta and we lost Tyler O'Neill. We needed a dose of Canadian on this team.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked Garrett Crochet, non-committal, when I asked him about playing
in
the WBC.
No.
You don't want him to.
No, I don't want anyone on the Red Sox to play.
Well, that is the Team USA, as we have said multiple times in Baseball's and Boring podcast. Team USA, they're very good, but they haven't been able to get like the pitchers, the no doubt about it. Like the, I don't know if Skeens is going to pitch. I don't know if who else.
Their saving grace a couple of years ago was Merrill Kelly.
No, I'll tell you, I went to the WBC. I saw Merrill Kelly and I saw Adam Wainwright. And this is like 40-year-old Adam Wainwright.
Right, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And meanwhile, Japan is running out like the best of the best.
Otani, Yamamoto, Sasaki.
Crochet, you have Skeens, you have Joe Ryan, you have, if healthy, Glasnow,
Snell, Reed.
I'm about team Puerto Rico. I'm team Puerto Rico.
Right.
I went to WBC. They were the coolest.
All right, 617-779-7937 if you want to handicap the WBC. But if you don't, if you want to talk about Tristan Casas, in this situation, how you replace first base. We have a lot of great scenarios. Let's go around the room one last time to give everybody, the play testing guys, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat, their opinion on what they should do in 5 seconds. Go, Gordo.
Devers at first, Yoshida at DH.
Sammy?
Campbell to first, Story to second, call up Meyer, give him shortstop.
Pat?
Roman.
Boring. Go.
That's discouraging.
Go.
Romy signed minor league depth, address it at the deadline.
All right. What I had with you all the way to address at the deadline. Well, why would you want to address at the deadline?
I'm just saying that's going to be the opportunity.
It's going to be very costly. Who is the biggest free agent? Pete Alonso.
Yeah, but like my biggest point being the guys that I do want them to trade for, those teams probably won't even sell until the deadline.
Tampa,
like
they raise
Yandy
Milwaukee
Diaz
Brewers.
In Tampa, like Rhys Hoskins in Milwaukee, like those guys aren't going to be available right now.
I'll say it again.
Matt Mervis.
Tomorrow, the anniversary of the Luis Arraez trade. Isn't that crazy?
I forgot how early that was.
It's nuts.
Like
it's
the
crazy.
Frame of reference of where we are in this season, that is so absurd.
So,
question for you, Rob.
Yeah.
You have the Carlos Santana day memorized on the top of your head?
June 27th.
Right, there you go. we'll mark that day down too if they don't have it.
Yeah, June 27th. But the Luis Arraez thing, and I was talking to Breslow about this for a story I'm writing for tomorrow at WEI.com. And you know, I said, hey, listen, you went through this process last year. What was it like in May? Like, do you get calls about trades? What does this happen? And he's like, you almost forget that you can make trades in May. Like, because you are conditioned to say, this is my team. This is the blueprint. Have to be patient and all of that. And last year, obviously, at the end of April, they have to make it a pivot because of Casas, and they do Dom Smith, and they do Gary Cooper. But I'll say it again. They don't have to do that this time. They don't have to do it. And I do not want to do the whole like, oh, we can't possibly move these prospects. I don't around and have them play different positions. And I'm not talking about Roman Anthony. Guys, for me, that's I know that you like to really, really crap on all every time anyone mentioned in the last few weeks Roman Anthony playing first base. You all enjoy that, right?
Deserved.
Correct?
Yes. Deserved.
But what I don't understand is why people were doing that. And not mentioning Marcelo Meyer, you were basically saying the guy who has never taken a ground ball in the infield should do it, and the guy who does it every day shouldn't do it.
It's a simple reason, because the people saying Roman Anthony should play first base are being illogical. So of course they're not answering.
Well, tell me why. Tell me why are they being illogical? Why did Roman Anthony keep pounding this desk about Roman Anthony playing a position that he is ill-equipped to play?
Rob, it's because he's the top prospect in baseball, and they want the top prospect.
Okay, well, Marcelo Meyer wasn't that far behind, and he is. And I don't know if you know this, he has more RBIs than anybody in the world in the minor league.
I don't disagree with you at all. I'm just telling you what they're thinking.
Okay, but I am genuinely curious about why these people kept saying, because it wasn't the fringe baseball people who say, he's big. We know he's big. Because, you know, he's a power-hitting outfielder. We know he's statuesque. And we've seen guys like that play first base before. And this is the path to get him up.
Right, yeah, it's illogical. So I don't expect them to have a more you can't expect illogical people to also have a logical thought like, oh, what about the other top prospect who does play the infield?
And by the way, is as big as Roman Anthony.
Right, yeah. Marcelo Meyer is sneaky big dude.
Huge guy.
Yeah.
And Masa, as much as we all want to see Masa Yoshida play first,
I'd give anything.
I would.
It'd be hilarious. But he's my
son. You think he can do? I bet maybe he can do a split. I feel
he strikes me as a limber guy.
Sneaky do a split.
The
right?
guy who's been hurt for like months does not strike me as a limber.
Just imagine like that's his party trick. Middle of a party, just drops down in a split, stands right back up like nothing happened.
I'm gonna do it, Masa Yoshida, right now. All right, Mark in Norwood. Hey, Mark, how are you? What's going on, Mark? Can you pull him up, Mitch? There you go. All right, sorry, Mark. I missed the beginning.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right.
What do you got?
That's okay. So what you got is another crappy baseball team. They're not fun to watch. They play bad defense. They're inconsistent. And the pitching is marginal. They tried to sell us a bill of goods like, oh, the 92, 93 win team. I don't think they're going to be any better than they were last year, as presently constituted. So do something. Throw the fans a bone. Let us see Maya. Let us see Roman Anthony. There's another kid down there, too. I don't know, Christian. Another one. Bring them up. Let us see these guys if they can actually play. Because, you know, this team's going. They're not making the playoffs. They're not going anywhere as presently constituted. I'm pissed. I want to see baseball again. I haven't seen it in 5 years.
All right.
Can we do something?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. All right, I'm going to go around the room.
Rob, they've been mid at best, right? I think that's fair to say this team has been absolutely mid at best. They're in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, we know I knew that.
There's
yeah.
so much more to be tapped into.
Okay.
Even with
– All right, Sammy, respond to that call. Respond to Mark from Norwood.
I don't think that you could possibly call this a bad baseball team. I don't think they're a great baseball team, but I think this is a team that's going to fight for a playoff spot. And maybe right now I'd say I think they're going to make it because, like Gordo just alluded to, they haven't been playing very well, and yet here they are, two games over 500. Technically, I know it's May, what, 3rd, but they're in a playoff spot, quote-unquote. So, no, not a bad team, just not great.
All right, Dr. Pat.
They've had, what, 5 straight quality starts from starting pitching, and this is the first run-through of the full rotation. And then to say that's not better on paper than last year's team is insane.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's insane. They are going to be better than last year's record, and I agree. I think they will be in a playoff team.
So, you know, when I was on the Jones and Keefe show this week and they asked me for the grade and I gave a B-, I probably, in hindsight, you know, I probably would have given them a C-plus. Or around there, maybe even a C. And that was, I think it was after that first loss in Toronto. So I think that they are a flawed team that hasn't played up to their capabilities. And for very different reasons.
Yeah.
But I do come back to this. The American League kind of stinks. Like, stinks in the sense that, like, there's...
It stinks.
You know, it stinks. There's no dominant team. There's no team... Like, you couldn't pick 4 teams from the National League West and say... They're the best team in the American League.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Easily, right?
Yeah.
And so you have this dynamic in the American League. Of these teams, you can make the very real case that the Red Sox have the most talent. Have the most talent.
I don't think that's a hot take at all. Yeah, no, having
it's
the
not.
Most talent and putting it together.
But I will – yeah, putting yeah. it together and so I think that where we've landed with this team heading into May with the Boston Red Sox of what you need, take the first base. We don't know what's going to happen at first base aside. Because let's be honest. I mean, in the first month, Tristan Casas wasn't part of the solution, right? This wasn't why you were good. I mean, he was coming on, as he said, 900 OPS over the last week. But still, if you look at this team, what they need, if the trade deadline was tomorrow, I think for me – again, first base aside, you're a high leverage arm short in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I think that is the number one thing right now for this team.
Indisputably.
Yes.
Yeah. And because I think where they found themselves the other day, and we can talk, we haven't even talked about the Cora thing with not walking Vlad, but running Slayton out for a second game where, you know, that was supposed to be Liam Hendricks. That was supposed to be Zach Kelly. Like, and maybe Weiser's becoming that, but – that's the guy. You have the. This is why teams have to have those guys. Have to have 3, maybe 4 guys who can pitch in the 8th inning. And right now, after Slayton, after Chapman, and Whitlock's a different thing, right? But your guy short because Hendricks was supposed to be something that they don't perceive him as right now. Am I wrong?
No, right. Spot on. Which was always, in my opinion, kind of a flimsy idea.
Oh, every time anyone said that, oh, you got the closer in Liam Hendricks, I was like, what? Cart before the horse, man.
I'm cool giving him the first crack at it, but I never thought that was like a, you know, a surefire solution. I agree. They're one leverage arm short, and if it's not a leverage arm, I would want someone with big upside. So
all
either
right.
way.
I do want to get into that Vlad not walking Vlad thing and also Cora's comment yesterday because for this game today.
One Piece night.
What is it?
It's One Piece
night. Oh, it's One Piece night. Everyone walking around in their baseballs and boring onesies. Some like... The Benson,
not quite what that means.
the Benson Boone, right? I am going to dress up like Benson Boone.
You think?
And I'm going to flip off. I'm going to like not flip off, but I'm going to do a flip off of a piano.
If you think that these two know who Benson Boone is, you're out.
You guys don't know who Benson,
mind.
Second baseman for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs? No.
No,
but you don't know who Benson Boone is?
No. No, I'm not a Benson Boone guy.
I swear to, they probably believe that. I swear to God.
No, because Pat, I know that when you say that, it's from a movie. Because my knowledge of movies.
Is that from Bull Durham?
No, man. Benson.
Yeah, no, it's from Bull Durham.
Okay, see, I'm not nearly as like
it's
like
the guy. It's the guy. What was it? Where was it? The Grammys?
Grammys, yeah.
The Grammys. Like he did a flip off of like a piano.
Sings.
Oh, that's cool.
He sings.
Can he do a kick?
All right, Mitch, if you get a chance, can we get some Benson Boone?
I mean, what does he sing?
Well, we're going to find that out. All right. We're here to educate, inform, entertain, and offer insight. All right. That's what we do here in the Baseball and Boring Show. And someone who always does that is Allison from Cambridge. Hey, Allison, how are you?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. So I have two ideas for first base. But first, I just have to say, I just feel so bad for Tristan Casas. It's just awful. And it's so clear that he's just so passionate and he cares so much. And it's just absolutely awful. You know?
I agree.
100%. There's not enough words. It's just awful. But my two ideas. I mean, the first is one of the play Tessie fellows, I guess it was Gordo, the idea of Yoshida being the DH and Rafi going to first, and then, you know, when it's a lefty the pitching, then, you know, having Yoshida sit and having Rafi DH. The thing I like about that is it does use our resources well. And so there's that. My other idea, and this connects with something that it goes way back, that to bring Anthony Rizzo here to play first base, and every so often he will have pop in his bat. And he's a good teammate. He was drafted here. It was a huge mistake that Theo made, anyhow, to trade him for Adrian Gonzalez, which just, anyhow, that was, we know what that was like. But anyhow, regardless, that in 2021, I really wanted Heim to get Anthony Rizzo, which we needed a first baseman. I mean, and Anthony Rizzo, and then we got Kyle Schwarber, but he wasn't available for a few weeks. And Rob Bradford, you said to me, why couldn't we have had both? If Heim had gotten Anthony Rizzo and Kyle Schwarber at the same time, things would have flowed very differently and been very different, and we'd have a first baseman. And
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyhow, so there's a part of me that feels like karmically bringing Anthony Rizzo back. I know it seems like so many years too late, but it just, there's something about it that I kind of like, but that's
I know,
that,
and
that's
Allison, I mean, think? I got to be honest with you. The Rizzo thing that you mentioned 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, four years ago. Anthony Rizzo is what he is. If you want to take a flyer on him, put him in the minor leagues like the Yasmani Grandal plan, go ahead.
Before you go on,
like my point is that they're in a position now where they don't have to do things like that. I don't feel like they have to do mm-hmm. things like that. This is going to scratch right where Pat itches too, which is, hey, is Anthony Rizzo going to be any better than Roby Gonzalez? There's no guarantees.
The other thing I was going to say, though, it really bothers me to hear people say that this year you can't blame the front office at all, that they did everything. I mean, I don't think that you can say, obviously, Garrett Crochet, obviously, we didn't do that. I mean, yes, I'm so glad we did it. I'm so glad we were finally willing to give up prospects, and that was good. We should do that. It seemed like an obvious thing. And the only reason that we got Bregman is we came up with this very creative contract, so it was basically a year by year for up to three. So it's not really like getting a solid third baseman or anything that I don't want to say and having the lack of depth at catchers. We started off with being defensive being a problem. I don't want to let the front office. I don't want to blame it just on the players and Alex Cora for what's happening or even injuries. I mean that basically I wish that somebody would admit that everything that happened since Heim was here, everything just got out of whack. He refused to give us players who played the right position. I mean he was waiting
Allison,
for some weird future.
There's only one solution to this entire problem.
Don't say it.
You know what it
is. No.
Do it. There's only one person who should be playing first base.
Say it.
There's only one person they should be trading for Allison.
No.
Only one person they should be trading for Allison. Who is it?
Me?
Allison, come on. You know the answer to this. But don't say it.
Xander Bogaerts.
Oh my god, I was not. Oh my god, not that I've forgotten Xander, but that is so funny. Yes, we will end with Xander. It was a very much getting things out of whack. But there was one more thing I was going to say, but I got distracted by the X-Men, by Xander. Bringing up people, Marcelo Meyer. Oh yeah, so what about for the idea of Marcelo Meyer? That's your idea, right?
My idea.
Of having him play first? Right.
My idea.
But what about one of the Tessie guys, I guess it was Gordo, who said that he's really not going to like that because it really devalues him if he plays first base.
Was that Sammy?
Oh, that was me, Sammy. But I don't care. With Campbell, he's already
what
locked up, so he's not going to have the
I mean,
right.
Allison, thanks for the call.
Love Allison, but I think I'd rather eat a beehive than have to see Anthony Rizzo take away at bats in 20.
You factor it in once again, and I think that Anthony Rizzo, as much as he's devalued or diminished defensively, still like just put Romy Gonzalez out there, put Abraham Toro out there. Okay, you know it's okay. Like this not Allison spoke to what a lot of people are thinking. But in 2021, look at what the Yankees did when they get Rizzo, and everyone was screaming, why didn't you get Rizzo? That's 2021.
Because he's Italian, and he hits it to the short porch.
I would love Rizzo. To see Xander Bogaerts play first.
I'd be more open to the Rizzo thing if it didn't take like a 3 or 4 week ramp up just to see if maybe he could do it. Like if he was on another team and he was playing well in the minors, it's like, okay, like maybe that's better than Abraham Toro.
All right.
But it's just not that.
I'm out.
It's take a long time even to maybe get a guy who could be better.
So out on Rizzo. Hard no.
All right, fellas. It's time to play option B, topic B. We've talked a lot about Tristan Casas, and people can keep giving their scenarios. We're try to put up a poll at some point to see which scenario that each of us presented everybody likes in terms of replacing Tristan Casas at first base. But also, this week, I was in Toronto, and I saw it in person. You guys saw it through probably listening to the great game on the radio, right? Correct? Absolutely. And Alex Cora chose on second and third with one out in the 10th inning and in a tie game. Was it eighth? Oh, I'm sorry. Eighth inning. I'm getting them mixed up. Eighth inning. They were winning by a run. Second, third, one out. Vlad Guerrero Jr. up. Anthony Santander on deck. Not to walk. Vlad Guerrero Jr. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. hits the home run. Yesterday, Alex Cora said that the reason why he did not walk Vlad Guerrero Jr. was because at this point in the season, and I'm paraphrasing, but correct me if I'm wrong about anything I say, that at this point in the season, he wants to default to prioritizing trust in his pitcher to get out of that situation. If it happened in the ALCS, he might have very well walked Vlad, but at this point in the season, he wants to say to Justin Slayton, go get him. We believe in you. Now, there's a lot of things we can pick through with this. I think that, here's what I ask each of you, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat of playtesting. Which was more frustrating for you? Was it the moment or was it yesterday's answer? Gordo, go.
For me, it was the moment, and that's because I think I knew in the moment, and the more I thought about it, that there was really no explanation that I was going to think could justify it. And
You're so sad when you say that.
Nah, I mean, they were probably losing the game regardless, but I just didn't think it was.
Okay, all right. How about you, Sammy?
The moment, by far. The response, I saw it. I didn't like it, but I figured that's just Cora trying to wash away the situation. It's by far. Even if you watched our most recent episode of Play Tessie, you would have seen me crashing out, as the kids call it. Was not happy.
Okay. How about you, Pat, Dr. Pat?
I think it was the answer.
Oh, good
because,
for you.
Yeah, I think it was the answer. Because when it happened, we were talking about it vehemently and
vehemently yeah,
good word,
vehemently,
lots
vehemently.
Of texts, yeah. Lots vehemently. Of words
Eovaldi. But we were talking about it, and I truly believed his answer to be that in that series Santander was heating up, they didn't want to load the bases up for Santander. If he had said that, I guess could have rationalized it in my head, and I was expecting him to say that,
but they were facing Santander regardless, even if you
no I know out. But
I guess
he'd yeah
him, but.
And then it's just that answer yesterday. It was so odd. Like, I get, like, it's not a must-win game. There's no such thing as a must-win game in May. But the rational, like, I don't understand that. If it were the ACLs of the World Series, we would do that. You could have won that game. Who knows?
I think, put it this way. Forget about the ALCS. Forget about the World Series. If that happens tomorrow, he's walking.
He's walking. Yeah, that's more my thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes around to. Because I was trying to look at it all sides, and there's a lot to pick through when it comes to this. By the way, as I tweeted out, one of the things that amazed me was doing all the research for this. The Red Sox, not even close, have the most 0-2 counts in baseball, and they had like a flurry of 0-2 counts.
0-2 counts as they're pitching, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, like they get to 0-2 counts.
Nice.
And they also have given up more home runs than any team in baseball after getting 0-2 counts. That aside, when you look at that at bat, so he's pumping in fastballs to Vlad, and Vlad isn't looking that great. He initially gets to 0-2, and then he decides to throw just an awful curveball. And, you know, he explained, I wanted to change eye level, whatever it was. But it was an awful curveball. It was an awful decision. So you can make the case was, the plan was working if he just stuck to the plan, but he didn't stick to the plan. But that didn't happen. The other caveat was, I said, bring in Chapman. That's what Chapman's for. This is how things are done now, right? You bring in your best pitcher against the best hitters. These are the best hitters. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is perceived as the best hitter. That's who you bring him in for. And they didn't do that. You get with Slayton the second day, which leads you to what we said before. They're a reliever short. That spot, you should not have to had to bring in Slayton for a second straight day. So, again, that's what I said to you, I think, the guys the day after. But I will say this. After hearing that explanation, after hearing what Cora said, I do believe that when you say, if I believe that Alex Cora would do the walk him tomorrow, then that's what Alex Cora believed that he probably should have done that day.
Yeah.
You know, because it was May 1st. Today is May 3rd.
Yes.
I don't think that the trust in Justin Slayton is going to change in these 2 days. I think that was my biggest takeaway from that comment. So,
yeah, I mean, that kind of, I've been going back and forth a little bit on the comment because, like I just said, I thought it was Cora trying to wash away the situation. But the more I think about it, the more it sounds like him kind of being like, not the best choice, but I'm not going to say that out loud kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I really, compared to the situation itself. The situation.
What was interesting was some of the comments from Vlad Guerrero Jr. after the game, John Schneider, the manager, after the game. Vlad was basically said this thing about how he wasn't surprised because the Red Sox in those situations always pitch to him, and nobody can find these situations. But evidently, he in his mind, they always go after him, which was sort of like, how dare you go after me? You always go after me. I knew what was coming, and I'm going to show you what's what. Schneider was more of like, I see both sides of it. Santander hit the home run the night before, all of that. But yeah,
here's the thing about that situation is with one out and no one on first base, you need a strikeout. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., yeah, he swings incredibly hard, but he doesn't strike out. He's 18% strikeout for the year. Santander and Varsho, who was in the hole at that point, both strike out more. And if you put Vlad on first, you open up the double play. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just I wouldn't have pitched to Vlad.
Yeah. It's just interesting that as we sit here at this point, you know, and we've had Cora do a mea culpa before. His first year, I remember 2018, there was something involving Jackie Bradley where he did. He's like, I messed up. Like, I messed up. I remember that. So
this year, fine. I don't mind that at all.
With Campbell and center field, Duran and left, which I don't know. I still think Duran and center, Campbell and left is probably
better. So you got everything off your chest when it comes to the intentional walk. I mean, this is what I'm bringing you guys in for.
Can I present one final theory?
Okay.
About why he didn't go to Chapman.
Okay.
Chapman faced Vlad the night before. So that's what I was thinking in the moment. Because I thought the same thing. Go to Chapman. Yeah. Great, go to Chapman here, but then I thought about it. Maybe they don't.
I think it also, like, I also think that inning spiraled at, like, pretty quick on him.
Yeah. There's also the next inning. Like, Slayton kind of got himself into a jam. If you replace him with Chapman there, Chapman has not been he hasn't gone for more than three outs once this year. So if you put Chapman in that spot, you're either sending him out there for more than three outs, or who are you putting in? Weissert? Or did he pick
again? Him? Once again, arm short. All right,
arm short.
We're solving a lot of the world's problems today.
Arm short.
That's where we come to. All right, last segment coming up. We're storming on into the pregame show. A lot of buzz here. What is it? Onesie Night or whatever? What is
One Piece? It's the most popular anime in the world.
Okay, what's
I actually know what this
what
is. I don't.
Was it One Piece?
I only know One Piece through Sammy.
Okay, so One Piece is an anime, and it's about this guy who's like a pirate, and he travels the world, and apparently it's super, super popular and likable.
Is he like wear like One Piece?
He
like,
wears a straw hat. You see all these people with see this guy right here with the bucket hat? You're going to see a lot of straw hats.
Oh, that's super great.
I've never watched it, but I've heard it's great.
I mean, can we just play a good baseball game and get people here?
Last
night's crowd was great, by the way. I love Friday night, like, summery crowds. Yeah. It was a great crowd. I mean, it sucked that the cashless thing happened, but still, it was a great crowd. All right. Well, speaking of greatness, we're New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get your employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford from America. For America. Well, my week, I was up in Toronto. I took Cooper Boardman.
It's the third different pronunciation of Toronto you've had.
No, I didn't.
What Toronto? Did
you say? Toronto.
You said Toronto, Toronto, and Toronto.
Toronto. Toronto.
Sorry.
Toronto.
That's how I say Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto. Anyway, I was up in the 41 whatever it is, 416. And I took Cooper Boardman up to the CN Tower. And we sat on the glass floor. You want to see... This is, I told him, the great exercise for any play-by-play guy is basically like jump off a tower or jump out of a plane or get in, or be scared at heights or whatever and give your best. That's your home run call. Whatever you're screaming, that's your home run call. Because Cooper, who did an excellent job on the road trip with Will Fleming, whatever like his announcer voice when he was proclaiming that he was petrified and crapping his pants, that was right on, man. Everyone was like, oh, my goodness. No one's articulated that they've been this scared walking on this glass floor. You ever walk on the glass floor?
Yeah.
On that sort of deal? No?
No.
I don't think so.
I did. I can't remember where I was, but I did something like that. It didn't look as extreme as what you guys were doing, though.
Yeah, we take it to the extreme.
Chicago has something like that?
I was going to say, it was in Chicago, I think.
Okay, yeah. That we were going to do that when I went to Wrigley a few years ago, and then we didn't end up. There was like some long line.
Okay, all right. Good take. Yeah. All right. I want to recap what's going on here. Because we have solved the world's problems when it comes to the 11 scenarios that you can do in terms of replacing Tristan Casas. And we should go through all the moves first. And then we're going to get to Dr. Pat because I think people missed his expertise. This is why he went to 18 years of medical school for this moment right here. But I should note that Brennan Bernardino is back from the bereavement list. Luis Guerrero is sent down to make room for Bernardino, who now they have 18 lefties in the bullpen, correct? Yes?
Yeah. Four lefties.
Maybe
not. A lot of lefties.
All right, okay. Okay. Abraham Toro called up, and the reason Abraham Toro is called up, because and he had to be put on the 40-man roster, by the way. Tristan Casas, he goes on the 10-day injury list, which is, you know, I guess they wait to put him on the
system. Yeah, they'll be back. The next time they need
him. With a left patellar tendon rupture. So, Dr. Pat, tell us again what that is.
So, patellar tendon rupture, it is the tendon that maintains your kneecap's kind of space within your knee. Rupturing it is not pretty. It's not fun. It's a long recovery.
Not fun.
Mm. I know. Off air, Gordo was saying that sounds really fun.
Definitely.
Yes.
Confirm, not fun.
Not to correct.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. So,
not to tell me
like I was saying, like average Joe back to like a desk job comfortably, 6 months.
But you would mention other athletes had gone through this. Victor Cruz, yes. Gerard Mayo, Garrett Richards was the baseball player. We saw that here.
Yeah.
Gruesome. I mean, again, also carted off, much like Casas yesterday.
Yep, Jeremy Lin, Andre Robertson.
You know what? To me, in hindsight, or after the game, when Cora mentioned that he was in shock, the shock thing always scares me.
So that it's funny because I in college played intramural basketball. My friend did the same exact thing. Kneecap is up his thigh, and he was also in shock. He's like, "Yeah, this doesn't even hurt," and we're like, "Call an ambulance." Now,
I mean, Costas was just like staring into space.
That's what happens. Your body just like it doesn't know how to respond to something like that.
Is that adrenaline? Like the actual scientific?
Yeah. Like that's just total like central nervous system overwhelm. Like you're just kind of shut down. You have no idea what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Well, I do know what's going on. We're having an awesome show. 617-779-7937. Gordo, you got anything?
What do you mean?
I'm trying to jack you up. Let's go.
I just can't stop picturing Pat's friend's kneecap in his thigh.
Sorry.
We're about to eat.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Come on. All right. Why you ruminate on that? Let's go to the phone lines. Dane. Hey, Dane. How you doing? What's going on, my friend? Dane. Hey, Dane.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, we're just touching on, I believe what Cora is saying about, you know, giving his bullpen a chance. That's why he didn't walk Vladimir Guerrero. Because it's the same thing he did with Rafaela. In the beginning of the season, he was letting him hit, but yesterday he made him bunt with runners on first and second. So I kind of believe what he's saying. He gave him an opportunity to prove himself earlier on, but it wasn't working, so he made him bunt yesterday, which he didn't do before.
Yeah, you know, and thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate it. But here's the thing, is that I can't relate – a position player to a reliever like that. The day before Slayton came in, right? Slayton's going to get other opportunities. Everybody knows Slayton is going to be the other high leverage guy, correct? Fellas?
Correct.
Yes?
Correct.
Hello?
Correct.
One of three.
Correct. Yes?
One of three high leverage dudes.
Who's the third?
Whitlock.
Yeah,
Whitlock. Okay, well, yeah.
I know you can't use him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but yeah, so I get where Cora was coming from, but still, I'll say it again. I've thought a lot about this. I've tried to get my head around. I don't want to be the reactionary, oh, yeah, of course you should have walked him. Oh, of course you shouldn't have walked him. But when he says, like, I'm playing it for the long game, maybe I do something different, I genuinely believe if this happens today, he walks him. And that's where I can't get past. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Carl in the Cape. Hey, Carl.
Hey, good afternoon, Bradfo. How are you?
I'm great. I couldn't be any better. These guys are just, like, looking at their phones. Like, I don't know what they're doing. What's going on? Let's go.
Well, you know, we had the conversation 3 weeks ago. You know how I feel about Casas. I was very vocal about it. I certainly wish him the best. I think it's horrible that he has to go through this for anyone, for any pro athlete to have to deal with this. But that said, he just did this club a big favor because he's never going to be anything but what we've seen, and that is an inconsistent baseball player who's not very athletic, average defensive first baseman, And I think he's just going to be an inconsistent baseball player. I just don't see it. But that said, time to move on. They've got some great options. You know, I can't see why Campbell couldn't push over to first base and get Meyer at second.
There we go.
You know, I could see that happening easily. You know, I mean, there's no reason why Rafi Devers can't start taking ground balls at first base. I think it'd be an easy transition for him. But, you know, that said, they've got options, and they've got good options. And it's time to move on. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for the call, Carl. I mean, I'm not honestly.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, thank you.
One of the things I was so excited for this year with Tristan was to see him turn it around and to see all of the people with these takes that he's not good, that he's inconsistent, that he can't hit at this level, that they should play Roman Anthony at first base, all that. See all of those people go away, fade into the bushes like the Homer Simpson. But I feel so bad for him. And like, I honestly feel like it's weird to have conversations about Tristan Casas as a baseball player, because we're just not going to see him for a year. We're not going to know.
That's the conversation we had with multiple people. I think it was it Tony? I forget who it was, but you guys have been doing the show, and I'm very appreciative of you doing the show. You guys coming in, talking about this Casas thing, about how, hey, listen, you're just going to have to trust me. Let's talk about this in a couple months. We kept saying that. Let's talk about this in a couple months. And as I said, the last week he had an OPS over 900. There were signs. Even yesterday before the game, I think Alex Cora was talking about him, said, yeah, we can see it. He's not hitting with power, but we can see, you know, some things happening. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're going to have calls like that. It's like, oh, well, he wasn't going to do it anyway. He's not going to be good anyway.
But
honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, to me, as a human being, I didn't want to even take that call. Like, I mean, I don't want to do that. Like, this isn't the time to do that. I just don't feel that. And people can criticize me all they want. That's fine. But it is what it is with this guy. I mean, the guy's like, he's sitting in the hospital bed right now. It is what it is. That conversation is over. It's over for another year. It's done. We're not going to have the answer to this, whether or not Tristan Casas was going to have a great year. It's done.
And also, like our friend Jeff in Watertown said earlier in the show, even if you don't like Casas as a player and think the Red Sox would be better off without him, you still don't want him hurt, because now you can't trade him and get value back in return. It's never, you can't frame it as he did the team a favor, as our recent caller just said. It's just not true.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is that one thing that he said that people have been saying is like, he's hurt again, this is who he is, like what we've seen is what he's 118.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series. where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.